And I went into government for that reason. And I had the chance to be able to work at scale on these really important programs that influences people's lives all over the world. And that was incredibly, incredibly satisfying. And what I hope to do with GLOW is still have the same audacity to really make a change for people's lives. And although the process is very different and the amount of nimbleness is very different and sort of the resources we bring to bear look different, the reason is still there, which is that, you know, I think the world should look a certain way.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Going Deep with Aaron Watson. We've got an episode that's very inside baseball today, talking about the podcasting industry and how our guest, Amira Valiani, is building Glow.fm, which is a service that helps podcasters sell subscriptions to their podcast. Amira has a really interesting background. She's worked in the U.S. State Department. She has sold podcast ads and has come to this very specific opportunity and raised more than $2 million to see it come into reality. We talk about all that and a little bit about how Spotify, which is really focusing on developing podcast advertising, plays in union and in conflict with her company. Here is Amira Valiani.
You're listening to Going Deep with Aaron Watson.
Amira, welcome to the podcast. I'm excited to be talking with you.
Thanks. I'm so excited to be here.
So let's start off talking about your company, Glow FM, which is right around 2 years old, raised more than $2 million in capital, and is for a kind of interesting concept we've seen in the broad, like larger media environment, this move from ad-supported media to subscriptions. The New York Times has seen an explosion in subscribers. Wall Street Journal, Washington Post, all of these different large media entities have moved in the direction of subscriptions, and they have the technical backbone to make that happen. But my medium, podcasts, the medium that you're super into as well, has not necessarily had an easy mechanism for that. So can you talk about how specifically Glow enables that and why you thought it was so important?
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for having me and for that amazing introduction to the product and why we believe so passionately in it. The short version is Glow is the easiest way to turn your podcast into a subscription business or a paid business. We make it possible for listeners to be able to keep their listening habits, listening in the open podcast ecosystem wherever they like, but to make it incredibly easy to pay you as the podcaster and get access to private or paywalled content. We do that through a really easy two-step system where the podcaster sends you to a landing page. You click checkout using Apple or Google Pay, so really quick, no login or anything like that. And then you just hit a button with the podcast player you want to listen in, and your private podcast is accessible in whatever podcast player you use. And so, you know, Glow was founded, like you mentioned, a little more than 2 years ago, with just a dream trying to solve my own problem as a local news podcaster. And since then, we've raised some money. We've scaled to podcasters all over the world. We work with a British magazine. We work with some of the biggest fiction horror podcasters out there. We're working with podcasters who are making hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. And so we're incredibly proud to be able to enable this ecosystem for our customers.
Now, I want to touch on the open nature of that ecosystem a little bit later to stick with the product here for a while. I actually came into contact with a show that was using it, the Tech Meme Ride Home, and right, was able to kind of see the interface by which you, like you said, very simply one click to a landing page, pay, and then have a new RSS feed that you add to your app of choice. In my case, it's Overcast. And this is in stark contrast to my experience with the other paid podcast feed that I'm in touch with, which is Stratechery by Ben Thompson. And he, like most of his kind of personal ecosystem of content, has this very, custom built type of solution to each thing. But it was the same idea where you need to get a different RSS feed that creator is producing explicitly for their paying audience, usually with just ads removed, maybe with some bonus content in there as well. And what your basic product is doing, basically facilitating the payment processing and the kind of financial side for the podcast creator that doesn't want to deal with that, and then also facilitating the ease of that move over to the other RSS feed. Is that correct?
Exactly. So we make it easy for creators to process payments through us and then also access the private content.
Right on. And as you kind of came to this, and you know, fundraising is a huge part of, you know, painting this vision, telling the investors not just what is, but what's going to be. How do you see that fitting together into a future? Is it just the expansion of paid podcasting? Are there other forms of creator-enabled subscriptions that you're looking at? How are you thinking about that?
It's a great question. So, you know, when we went out there to fundraise, we said, we're building the Shopify for creators. And this idea is that the world has built all these systems for creators to make money in aggregators, similar to how, you know, your commerce entrepreneur 10 or 15 years ago was heavily relied on Amazon or sort of old school systems to have to distribute to find their way on the shelves. And we believe in a future where creators are going to develop and monetize direct relationships with their users or listeners. And we want to be able to facilitate that. So as I think about where Glow wants to be in the long term, we're really heavily focused on helping all creators monetize. That said, podcasting is plenty rich. It's growing incredibly rapidly. And we think there's a long roadmap of things that we could do facilitating the podcast ecosystem specifically. So we'll be focusing on podcasting for a while, but in the long term, yeah, we really want anyone who's creating content of value to be able to make money off doing it. And that's what we seek to facilitate.
And there's kind of a basic trope here in business of once you get a customer, the ease at which you can expand that customer into other service offerings versus getting the first one is night and day in terms of difficulty. And so conceivably, if a podcaster is already using you to manage the paid subscription for their podcast, if you then evolve the product to have a paid newsletter or a paid video or whatever the thing may be in the future, you already have the financial relationship, which is a huge, huge part of it. And just the trust and the reliability of them having used you for a period of time would make that next transition easier whenever that happens down the road.
Yeah, maybe you should write a product roadmap. You're on it. I think that's true. So, you know, first, you know, developing a relationship, through a paid podcast or something like that is incredibly useful for our customers and for us in terms of our relationships with our podcasters. But what we see a lot of podcasters is they'll either use the podcast as an entry point to be able to sell a different information product, or they'll bundle different things together. So not only will you get access to the podcast, maybe you get access to a paid newsletter, maybe you get access to some kind of in-person interaction or virtual interaction via Zoom. And, you know, right now, what we're seeing is podcasters that are duct taping this stuff together. Like the systems that come in place to be able to facilitate this system of relationships that are really common, right? Like everyone's using Zoom, everyone's on newsletters, but it's super, super hard to be able to facilitate those two-way relationships. It's super hard to develop those relationships in a really substantive way. And I think we exist to cut out the duct tape.
And so I'm also curious in terms of getting to this notion of subscription, immediately preceding Glow, you actually had founded a different company that was predicated on ad sales for podcasts. So I'm really curious how, you know, clearly there's an interest in podcasts. I'm a podcast lover too, but you know, going through that and what did you see that said, hey, we really need to, you know, I need to pivot my kind of career in a different direction in order to seize this opportunity?
Wow, you've done your research. So that's right. I had founded a company that was focused on podcast ad sales. And really the driving factor there was I just wanted to be involved in podcasts and I knew nothing about the industry. So this was like, you know, 2014, 2015, podcasting was really small. And I was a business school student at the time and I was just trying to get my foot in the door in the space. And it was a small industry. I emailed like the folks at Gimlet, I emailed the folks at NPR. I couldn't get an internship. And I said, well, you know, what does any enterprising person do? They say, F it, I'll do it on my own. So I started a podcast and I also had a few friends with podcasts. And I said, you know, I know podcasts have advertising as a way that they make money. Maybe I can help some friends make money through advertising. And that was the start of my advertising agency. Over time, through my own experiences with my podcast and then also through working on the outside of the business, I saw, wow, there is a huge need out there to have some kind of system where people can pay directly. And I saw some of the podcasters that I was working with anyway. So there was one podcaster who I used to buy ads for. And we had an ad drop out at the last minute, you know, like 2 weeks out. And for most podcasters, this is hugely, hugely damaging, right? It's a lot of money to lose a 6 week sponsor 2 weeks ahead of the deal.
Especially when they only have a few ad slots to sell. It's not like a full day worth of programming. It might be their one episode for the week or whatever the frequency is. So it's hard to replace that.
Yeah, it was, and so it's really devastating news to have to go to the podcaster and tell them the sponsor dropped out. And he said, it's not a big deal. Like, I don't make most of my money through ads anyway. And I sort of stopped and I said, oh, how do you make your money? And he's like, well, I have a subscription business. I run it through a website and all my listeners get, you know, who subscribe, they pay $300 a year. They get access to an extra episode every week. They have access to an online forum where I chat with them. I send them a quarterly market report. It was a finance podcast. And I sort of ran the numbers and I was like, wow, this guy makes $60,000 a year in ads, which is great if you're a podcaster, but $300,000 a year through subscriptions. And it's a far more stable revenue source. And as I was digging, I looked into him and sort of other podcasters that I saw hacking the system together. And I was like, wow, this is a huge pain in the ass to set up, right? Like, he had hired developers overseas to put together a website to be able to create the system. It wasn't listener friendly. It was like super expensive for him to keep up. And I said, there's got to be a better way. And that was the start of Flow.
So can you speak more to the finance, the numbers behind that? Because, you know, anyone that's not just a complete podcasting nerd won't know that like the CPM on like 1,000 listeners for a podcast show, you know, starts on the low end, maybe around $20 per CPM and can scale all the way up to like $80, $100 if you're really, really kind of niche and specific. But that's, you know, a general range. So if you could kind of throw some numbers to help clarify how, like what kind of conversion rate on listeners a podcaster might need in order to either replicate their ad sales or kind of be able to surpass it like he did.
Yeah. Let's take a podcast like this one in particular, the one that I had this relationship with. And let's do the math. I'll keep my calculator in front of me to not embarrass myself. So he has about 40,000 downloads per episode. And if you're, what that means is like, you're probably in the top 2-5% of podcasts. So 40,000 downloads per episode, that's really strong, like really consistent weekly show. And you charge a $25 CPM. What a CPM is a cost per thousand. So for every 1,000 listeners, you charge $25 for that ad, right? So $25 times 40,000 downloads per episode, that means on every episode, he's making about $1,000 on a single ad. Let's say his ad load is 2 ads per episode, so that's $2,000. It's a weekly podcast, maybe it takes 2 weeks off during the year, right? So let's make the math simple. So $2,000 every week, 50 weeks a year, making $100,000 off ads. Great. That's awesome money, right? But then you got to consider maybe I have 60% of ad load filled, maybe you have 80%. Like, there's a lot of volatility there. So let's say $50,000 to $100,000 a year in advertising on this podcast in particular. Then you probably work with a middle person, someone like me or other agencies who take anywhere between a 10 and 40% cut on commissions, right, for the ad sales. So again, let's be generous. Let's say it's 100% ad fill for this one podcaster, $100,000 a year made through ads, and then about 25% commission to your ad sales rep. So you're making about $75,000 a year through ads. Super hardy income via ads, right? But then let's say you also have, a potential subscriber base. You have 40,000 downloads per episode. These are people that really love your content. If you're putting together premium content that is really strong and that your listeners love, you can get 1-5% of your listeners to convert to going paid. So this is 40,000 downloads per episode. You get about 2.5% of his subscribers convert to paid. So that's 1,000 listeners converting to paid. Each of those people is paying $300 a year because it's financial information. It's super valuable to them. They're getting access to content on a regular basis. They're using this, his pitch was sort of in place of a financial services advisor. It's that rich. So he's making $300,000 a year off his subscriber base. Of that, you take a chunk off in credit card fees, but on a $300 transaction, and it's an annual fee, it's pretty minimal, then maybe you pay 10% to someone like Glow. So that's about $270,000 a year take home on your subscription-based content. So, you know, let's take out more cogs. Let's even say it's $200,000 a year. Maybe you have an administrator to help facilitate everything going on. That's about $200,000 a year on your paid business and about $75,000 a year on your ad business. Now, the beauty of the industry is you can do both, right? He doesn't have to sacrifice ads in order to have a paid business. But his paid business is much more robust. He's built it over time. It takes an investment. And it's not as volatile. He knows that, you know, about 90% of his subscribers any given year are going to be there the next year, and then he'll gain new ones. And so it makes for a much more stable business that he can grow over time by having a subscription-based revenue.
Right on. And that's also, you know, very similar to the thinking, like we reference those large media outlets at the jump, that they're making a similar calculation. But the other thing that I'm really fascinated with, because another kind of moniker that you tie this to is the idea of the creator economy. And often these podcasters aren't some big institution. They aren't some big outfit. They, you know, they may have an admin or an editor or here or there, but they're not an expansive team. And, you know, there's this history of just not being able to have the tools to even get distribution, let alone the payment processing and some of the things that Glow may be offering. But what I get really excited about when I speak with other individuals that are making content is there is a really big difference if you are transacting with that audience. And on one side, they'll say something that I would say like can skew towards romantic. It's like, I don't want to be, you know, influenced by my advertisers and not be able to say something good or bad if I want to. And that's valid and that's a part of the equation. But from like a business building standpoint, knowing that you can actually get that audience to transact, getting to understand what their actual buying habits are, not only makes you better at selling to a potential advertiser because you can explain what they'll spend their money on, but further, if you're going to develop other products, so like let's say this person here, they want to maybe create a specific fund around a specific investing thesis, or they would want to sell a book on the topic of investing or what have you, they actually have quantitative data on the transactions associated with their show and the other things around it, that they actually have intelligence into what product might resonate.
Yeah. I mean, man, you're writing my pitch deck for me. One of the hardest things about podcasting is that you don't know who your listeners are, right? Like it's this incredibly intimate relationship where you speak into the microphone and the people hear you every week and they feel like they know you, but actually you get none of that feedback. But what you get when you're actually paying subscribers is you have a list of email addresses of all those people and you have a way to contact them. You can email them and you can ask for feedback. You can use them as sort of early adopters for whatever you're talking about, or you can try to upsell them to, you know, whatever your next product is. So we work with podcasters who do all kinds of really cool stuff with that two-way relationship with their listeners to really deepen it and better understand who they are, including like sending them text messages when new episodes drop, or doing just really fun contests and things like that. And it helps build a two-way relationship, and the output of that just can't be captured sufficiently. So we have a podcast that does this text message campaign with all of his subscribers. And it's a really funny podcast. It's about gratitude. And one day around Christmas, they sent out a text message saying, "Do you want me to be Santa? Like, do you have a kid? Text me their name and your phone number, and I'm going to select 5 kids to call and pretend to be Santa and record it for the show." That is so freaking cool, right? So you call kids and pretends to be Santa and ask for their Christmas wishes, and you can record those and put them on the show, and it is just so rich. It's great for the listeners. It's super fun for the kids. It's great material for the show. And for him, he gets this awesome relationship with his listeners. And guess what? Those people are going to be subscribers for life because they have this amazing, intimate relationship with the personality they love.
100%. That's so cool.
The Going Deep podcast is underwritten by Piper Creative. Shooting, editing, and publishing quality content is overwhelming. We make it easy so you can save time, build your brand, and grow faster. Say hello at pipercreative.co.
I want to kind of change pace here and move back out to this concept of the open ecosystem for podcasting specifically. And like this even goes, you know, we can go way down a rabbit hole of like the concept of the open web and people that rail against, you know, how blogging has changed and how online video has changed. And back to the romantics, some people will say podcasting is one of these last bastions of the open web where anyone with an RSS feed can connect with anyone that wants to listen on that RSS feed and be able to connect with that show. And what folks, you know, throw the warning flags up on associated is Spotify, which has kind of a different relationship with the podcast on its platform, has a ton of exclusive shows that are not distributed in the kind of historically open RSS feed format. So can you talk a little bit about, you know, how Glow is almost a counterbalance in some ways to Spotify? And I'd imagine that you got some pushback and maybe some, you know, questions about that from the investors that were considering Glow.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's funny. We got some pushback from investors, and we actually have a great relationship with Spotify that's thinking, I think, very actively about how to let podcasters and artists in general monetize directly. So it's exciting to see. I'll give a little bit of background and then sort of dig into why we think Glow is really exciting in this space, which is, you know, the difference between podcasting and almost any other industry, as you said, is that almost every other industry has, or every other medium has been captive to aggregators, right? So in music, it's been Spotify. In video, it's been YouTube. And I think a lot of news people would say it's been Facebook and Twitter and Google. And so the content is being created by someone, but the value is being captured by the person who sells ads against it. In podcasting, that hasn't happened for a really long time because of what's called the RSS ecosystem. So it's been incredibly disaggregated. Podcasts are distributed via RSS feeds, and there's no one player that has really emerged as the one to be able to aggregate a ton of podcasts. And the reason isn't because no one could do it. It's because the industry has just been so small. So most people would be really surprised to know that podcasting is still not a $1 billion industry. It'll probably get there this year, but it is really, really small. So it's only been recently anyone's paid attention. And at the beginning of last year, Spotify woke up and they said, wait a second, we're in people's ears already. The popularity of podcasting is growing like crazy, but the money behind it isn't. Maybe we could go in and create some value here. And so that's what they started to do. And they're creating tons and tons of acquisitions in podcasting along those lines. I think that's great for podcasting, honestly. More and more people are listening to podcasts, getting popularized. You know, my mom started listening to podcasts more and more. You start seeing people like the Obamas in there. What gets scary for podcasters is the point at which Spotify has such control over the ecosystem that they start to have real control over ad rates. So YouTube used to be awesome for video creators, but then YouTube had such a monopoly that they really controlled how much video creators got paid, as opposed to those creators having any real route of self-determination to be able to determine how much their content was worth. YouTube decides how much they pay, not the creator themselves. Where we see Glow come in and companies like us is to still provide creators some way to be able to set their own prices and their own terms for what they get paid. So we're not saying don't use Spotify. We're not saying don't use ads. We're not saying don't use affiliate ecosystems. All those, any business person knows, are incredibly important pieces of building a really diverse revenue stream. And you should go get money wherever you can if you're an entrepreneur, right? Like, why wouldn't you? But you also need a reliable revenue stream, and you need to be able to know how you're going to be able to build a direct relationship with your listeners and set the price for what your content is worth. And that's where companies like Glow come in.
Well, I'll give the compliment right back. That is clearly an answer that you've had to give before in some form, and it was really good. I buy the notion, and to even paint more of a picture on that, we've been covering that. We have a business news show that we do called the Piper Rundown, and we've been talking a lot about not only them rolling up companies, but signing, like you mentioned, the Obamas and a ton of other personalities to these exclusive deals, and then simultaneously developing better targeting for the ads. Because what historically has been the case is, whether it was a company like you started, or actually there's a big agency called Midroll that was rolled up with SiriusXM and a couple of their other acquisitions, you'd kind of sell this manually, like on a show by show type of basis. And what Spotify is hoping to do, and where they want to create some value, is through creating the different profiles of the listeners, you know, their age, their geographic region, what have you, and then be able to slice off different parts of that audience for those ad insertions. And there's an argument to be made that would make ads potentially more relevant, bring more money into the ecosystem of podcasting, and help it get well past a $1 billion industry. But in terms of a creator with that sense, with that trust in their audience, that they have the relationship, because there's other, you know, examples of influencers that launch a product and they bottle their followers, or there's some sort of like artificiality in the relationship that doesn't necessarily translate into a transaction. So I think that you enabling that and seeing that through is an enormous advantage for someone who does have that intimate relationship.
Yeah, I appreciate it back at you. I think that's what we're really hoping to do is develop more ways for creators to be able to establish direct relationships with their listeners. And we really want to be a pioneer for that that piece of the industry. And it's been awesome to see a bunch of like-minded peers grow with us.
Right on. I have two kind of wrap-up questions, and then I have two wrap-up questions, then I have two questions I prepared you for at the end here, but these are kind of out of left field, so plant your feet. This is a fast-paced startup. You're in the early stages, small, nimble team. It has all, there's challenges to that, but there's also a lot of benefits that attracts entrepreneurial, enterprising people to it. You actually have a background, though, in government. You have a background working in the State Department, and there's this kind of, at the very least, a commonly held wisdom, I've never experienced it, of, you know, these organizations being slow moving and methodical. Can you just talk a little bit about the compare and contrast of being in those two different environments and maybe adjustments you've had to make personally or dispel notions that I might be misguided about?
Yeah, you know, it's funny when people look at my background, they look at it as sort of like a weird, you know, pretense of whiplash, and they're like, how are these two things related? And actually, to me, of course, they're very different contexts, right? The U.S. government has the biggest budget of any organization in the world, and my small, scrappy startup is working off of our seed funding and being really diligent about QuickBooks every single month. But there's similarities that draw me to both lifestyles that that I think are at the heart of what both of them are about. The first is, I think, vision and sort of the audacity to believe that you can actually change the world and how things are done. You know, the reason I got into government is because I believe really deeply in impact. I believe really deeply in my role in doing something that's differentiated and can really make a difference in people's lives. And I went into government for that reason. And I had the chance to be able to work at scale on these really important programs that influences people's lives all over the world. And that was incredibly, incredibly satisfying. And what I hope to do with GLOW is still have the same audacity to really make a change for people's lives. And although the process is very different and the amount of nimbleness is very different and sort of the resources we bring to bear look different, the reason is still there, which is that, you know, I think the world should look a certain way. And I want to help drive an organization to achieve that end. And the second thing is, you know, despite the fact that people think government is really slow moving, I gotta say, when you're working on national security at the State Department or the White House, it doesn't feel that slow moving. You know, like it actually is one of the scrappiest, most nimble places I've ever worked or ever been. The people are super smart, hardworking, and it is incredibly rapid when you're thinking about the facts changing on the ground when you have a presidential visit or, you know, when I was there, it was the start of the Arab Spring. You know, the world changes very, very quickly, and you have to be able to respond to those different stimuli. And figure out what your response is going to be and hope you're right. And a lot of startup life is pretty similar. You know, the stakes feel a lot lower, I got to say, when you're dealing with startup life than it does when you're dealing with a national security issue. And so they have different pros and cons. But I think that fast-paced life is actually what attracted me to both sort of careers.
For sure. It makes sense that there's a lot of parallels there. My other question, and this is just another one out of left field, you were able to procure the domain name that is your exact name, amirvaliani.com. And so my name is Aaron Watson, which is like just right on the line of like being common enough that there's like a lot of other Aaron Watsons. And actually there's like a country singer that claimed it before I even realized that that would be a valuable thing to have. How cool is it to just have your own name as a domain name? That was really cool question.
You know, someone asked the same question about having someone asked a very similar question a couple of weeks ago. It's very cool, and honestly, it's something I never considered. One of the upsides of having an unusual name is you get to claim the stuff pretty quickly. The downside is no one ever knows how to spell it. So,
yeah, that's fair.
But it is cool to be able to have a home online that is mine.
Right on. Well, consider me a little bit jealous, and I'm definitely going to be paying attention to everything that's going on with GLOW FM here as you guys continue to grow. As we aim towards wrapping up, Amira, before we ask our standard last two questions, anything else you were hoping to share today that I just didn't give you a chance to?
If you're thinking about starting a podcast or starting to write, go for it and don't be afraid to ask people for money from the get-go. You know, I think people are so nervous about it and they're so elated on the other end when they figure out that their fans are more than willing to give. So if you're thinking about making the jump, never hurts to try.
Right on. If people want to give it a try, specifically with GLOW FM, we'll direct them to glow.fm. And what other digital coordinates do you want people to check out?
Yeah, find me on Twitter. I'm at Amira Valiani, all one word, and you can figure out how to spell that probably in the show notes.
Yep.
And that's the best place to find me, just on my tweets. And then at Glow, we're at Glow, DOTFM on Twitter.
Perfect. I'm going to link all that. It's going to be in the podcast app you're probably listening to this, or at goingdeepwithaaron.com/podcast for this and every episode of the show. But Amira, before I let you go, I want to give you the mic one final time to issue an actionable personal challenge for the audience.
Yeah, here's my challenge is go find someone who you haven't talked to for a while, but holds a space in your heart, and reach out to them and just ask them how they're doing and say you were thinking about them. My husband and I just passed our 2-year wedding anniversary and went through some of the cards that we got on our wedding over the weekend and just went through, took pictures of the cards as we opened them and texted the people who gave them to us. 2 years later, apropos of nothing, we said, hey, thanks, how are you doing? And it was the loveliest feeling to hear back from all these people who maybe we've lost touch with, but are really special to us and hear what they told us. So very much encourage finding someone in your life and reaching out to them to just ask how they're doing, even if you haven't talked to them for a while.
I absolutely love that. And I'm going to take it as soon as we get off this call.
Great.
Amira, this has been awesome. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast and talking with me.
Appreciate it. Thanks so much, Aaron.
We just went deep with Amira Valiani. Hope everyone out there has a fantastic day. Hey, thank you so much for listening all the way to the end of the podcast. Please hit subscribe. We've got a ton of great episodes forthcoming that I'm really excited about. One very big guest that I cannot announce yet, but is one of the bigger ones that we've landed in quite some time. Appreciate you listening. Catch you next week.
Thanks for listening. Connect with Aaron on Twitter and Instagram at AaronWatson59.